All right, welcome in to the season's first episode of the Dig Volleyball Podcast for Robert Morris University. I am Austin Bechtold.
And I'm Josh Selzer.
And we are here. I think we might be the first podcast starting this year. We're getting started a little late, but you know what hasn't started late this year? The Robert Morris volleyball team. Man, they are on an absolute tear right now, Josh.
Oh, you ain't kidding, Austin. Yeah, just looking at their stats so far this season, I mean, you can just tell that they're, you know, there's probably some kind of motivation or drive that makes them, you know, want to play. You know, they've been exciting to pay attention to and even watch the all season. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely say this is an exciting season for their team.
This team is incredible. They are 19-3. They've won 9 in a row, 8-0 at home, only lost one game on the road, 9-0 in conference. 9-0, they've won every conference game since conference play has started. They've won every single game.
That is insane.
It is absolutely insane. And when you look at it compared to last season's team in conference struggled 5-9.
They struggled last season. You know, last season's record, they were 11-18 overall. Yeah, like you said, 5-9 conference, of a conference record. And they struggled. It looks like they struggled on the road last season, you know, coming with a record 3-8. And then, so yeah, last season, it definitely seemed like there was some struggles among the team. Seemed like they struggled to get into a rhythm last season. But this season, you couldn't even tell that, like, it seems like everything's clicking for the team, you know, and something must be going right. I mean, if you've won 19 out of 22 games, you have to be doing something right.
It's pretty crazy. And when I look at it and just trying to break it down a little bit, the home record is so much better, 7-5 last year. The road record, so much better, being 3-8 last season on the road, now being 7-1, already doubling their win total on the road. So when you look at it, what really plagued the team last year? Neutral site games. They were 1-5 early on, in the beginning of the year, you know, getting ready for NEC play. You know, they struggled, but this year 4-2, and not too bad. Only struggling in one tournament this season to begin the year. The Youngstown State Red and White Invitational is really where the team faced their only struggles this year, losing 3-0 to Youngstown State, 3-0 to Central Michigan, and a tough 3-2 loss against Eastern Illinois. So when I look at this team, Josh, who is your big player this year that's been, you know, leading the charge and having this RMU team be such improved from last season?
Well, one of those players, it's pretty obvious. I mean, we can't forget about Emma Granger. You know, she what year is she, Austin? Is she a junior?
Junior.
She's a junior.
She'll get her next year, too.
Yeah, she gets her senior year next year, too. I mean, look at these stats that she has put up this season. She has 200. She leads the team with 232 kills, and kills per set. She leads the team with 3.05. Yeah, she has been a big part of the offense this season, and you cannot. She makes it obvious that she's contributing to this success of this team. So you obviously can't forget about her.
She's 46 service aces. That's incredible. She recorded this week her fourth NEC Player of the Week award.
That's worthy.
It's well deserved.
Absolutely,
I would say. And it's not just Granger that's putting up massive numbers.
Mm-mm.
You look at the team, and you know, just in general, Granger's been great, leading the team with 232 kills, like you said, Josh. But still got Alyssa Hudak, 186, Maria Alfano, 173,
and Lauren Kolenick with 181. Yeah, so Emma Granger. She's definitely been a big name player. You know, she's definitely seemed like she's been the highlight of the Colonials this season. But then you also have other players that are contributing as well. So it's not like she's carrying the team. You know, it's a team effort. You know, so you win as a team, lose as a team. It seems like she, you know, everybody's contributing to the success, and that's what one thing that's special about this team.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think, you know, Granger anchoring down the middle really, you know, helps out blocking-wise. She's an absolute wall she puts up. Has a great vertical jump. I think she's really the spark plug of the offense. And, you know, whenever she's in the game, there's a great chance the ball's going to her. And, you know, it has blockers shift more to the middle. So the outsides have really been, you know, outsides like Alfano and Huda. Everybody else has just benefited from what Granger's
absolutely
been able to do. So Granger obviously is the plug, the force that leads this team, the driving force of this team. But you also got to look at somebody like Nicolet Zanelli, 376 digs as the libero. Been absolutely great this season. Only being a sophomore libero, that's impressive numbers putting them up so far this season on this great team.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've talked about the offense for a little bit, and yet the defensive aspect of the game, yeah, so you have, like, you know, Granger, she has blocks per set, 1.47. You also have Maria Alfano with a blocks per set of 1.27. So while it seems like there's been a lot of offense, they've also have a very noticeable defensive aspect of this game, and that's what makes this team so good and hard to play against. You know, when you have a team that, you know, focuses as much on the offense as the defense, that's hard to stop. Like, come on, who is stopping that kind of firepower?
Right. They've just been great so far. And, you know, Granger is the focus point of the offense. But the one that makes them run, none of this would be able to happen without the success that Whitney Brown's put up this year, anchoring the team as the setter, 685 assists on the year and 13 service aces. Been just the absolute – just guiding this offense in such a positive way, and just going to games and watching this team play. The offense is so fast. They're quick. They know where the ball's going. They got great plays we're drawing up. This team is just fun to watch, and every time they go out there, they just put on a show.
Kind of makes me want to go to a game really bad. I don't know about you, Austin.
Yeah, I'd like to go out and see some more games. But whenever you do go out and see some games, which we highly recommend, watch this 19-3 team,
mm-hmm.
you just notice that other teams just looked overmatched against this RMU team.
Absolutely. I mean, let's take a look here at some of their most recent matchups. So they're coming. So RMU women's volleyball is coming off a strong 3-0 win against St. Francis Brooklyn, which was an important NEC matchup. And then their matchup before was against Central Connecticut, a close 3-1 win. So they've played some important NEC matchups recently. And Austin, just by looking at these scores, it seems like they've almost had their way with all these teams.
They've lost a total of 2 sets the whole entire year. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's insane.
They have 3-0'd so many teams, including Bryant, St. Francis,
Long Island,
Merrimack, who's new in the NEC, Fairleigh Dickinson, like you said, Long Island, Merrimack again on the road. Central Connecticut was 3-1 on the road, 3-0ing St. Francis Brooklyn. Like you said, they've had their way. Anything that they've wanted to do, they've been able to do. And just being able to see, I mean, we're both freshmen. We didn't really get to see last year's team. Just seeing this team come out here with all this firepower,
it's something special.
It's incredible. You ask yourself, you know, I think what it really was last year, why they didn't really find this success is, you know, this is a young team. Brown's a junior. Zangoli's a sophomore. Granger's a junior. Hudak's a sophomore. It's just the team grew up a little bit. They became, you know, I wouldn't say veterans. There's really no seniors, you know, contributing the way that these juniors and sophomores are. I think just another year of development and another year of growing up in this system really helped the team to be able to blossom.
Yeah, absolutely. That helps any team out. You know, it always takes time for a team, you know, whether you're starting out or you've been playing the sport for a while, it always takes a while for a team to, you know, develop, get team chemistry going. But then once you finally get that team chemistry going, you're going to become hard to stop. I mean, if I may bring up an example, obviously the Colonials, perfect example. I mean, last year, you know, just by this 11 and 18 record last season, I mean, you could just, that's a sign right there that, like, where, that probably raised the question to fans, like, okay, where was this team chemistry? But now this year, just by looking at, you know, these matchups that they've won crushingly, and, you know, their record overall and in the conference, 9-0 in the conference, that still blows my mind, by the way. But you can just tell the team chemistry is there this season, and that's gonna help them a long way throughout the rest of their season.
Yeah, we are halfway done with this season. Dick Pink match against St. Francis coming up October 30th. It's a Wednesday at St. Francis. that is the coming up schedule. Next home game will be November 1st. It's a Friday.
Against Bryant.
How about at the UPMC Event Center? Maybe this is what it is, Josh. Maybe it's the brand new UPMC Event
Center.
That
could be something. I mean, it is pretty nice. I'm going to be – it is a really nice complex.
It's a great venue, and I think, you know, RMU going into this nice new venue, they're basically saying to each other, hey, well – we got a brand new building.
Let's bring it in.
It's beautiful. Let's bring our talent in and let's show off in this brand new building.
Absolutely.
So, you know, like you go to PNC Park, you know, you go and see the field, you know, the field everybody loves. And, you know, the Pirates might not be good, but hey, when you get the best of both worlds, when your team's really good and your arena's really good, you really can't top that.
Yeah, the scenery definitely just makes it, it adds a special aspect to the game where it's like, okay, even if the team's not good, You have the beautiful aspect of, you know, going to and watching the game and just being there sometimes. That makes it fun to watch.
Right. Now, I want to go back to some of the games that RMU has played earlier this season against NEC competition. First game in the NEC against the new opponent, Merrimack, at home, absolutely crushing.
Look at this.
25-17, 25-6. I mean, they scored 6 points. And I was at the game. Most of them were just RMU errors, not points earned by Merrimack. And then in the third set, 25-9.
That blows my mind.
Now, I know Merrimack is a new team. I know that, you know, they're still trying to find their way in the NEC. You know, they've struggled. They've not won a game in NEC play. But to just absolutely completely dominate a team like that, it still, you know, shows that RMU takes care of business when they have to. You know, there's no messing around. There's no playing down the competition.
That's probably good coaching on the Colonials' part. I mean, their coaching has to be spectacular. Because is any team really that good without that, like, good coaching like that? I mean, I don't know about you, Austin, but coaching probably has a big part of it.
Oh, I definitely agree. I think coaching is definitely a big part of, you know, how RMU is obtaining this success, where they are right now, and just how players have developed.
Absolutely.
Well, I know we said it multiple times, but the transition from last season to this season, it's just day and night how much better this team is.
Yeah, it's really noticeable.
And it's just by looking at the box score, it's just how they just finish off
opponents. Has RMU really even been in a close matchup with any of these teams? I mean, it looks like they've shut out a lot of their opponents so far this season.
Well, there were a couple of close games that went to four. Sacred Heart on the road, key road matchup, and only the third NEC game of the year. Colonials took the first two sets, 25-18, 25-22, before dropping the third, 26-28, and then finishing off the match 25-23 in the fourth set. So they were challenged a little bit there, a little bit of a rough game against Sacred Heart, and we're also challenged at Central Connecticut, losing the first set 18-25 and bouncing back to win the next three, 25-21, 25-20, and 25-16. Just kept getting easier for the Colonials.
Oh, you're definitely right about that. And, you know, St. Francis Brooklyn looks like they were able to keep it close against the Colonials in all three games. But, again, it's only taken three games to beat most of these teams for three sets to beat most of these teams for the Colonials. That's just incredible. I don't know. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah. Home games have all just, they've all gone the Colonials way. RMU has just had so much success at home. Every game the Colonials have played, every game has been 3-0 at home. There's not been four sets seen in the UPMC Event Center. They've not played four sets. Like we said earlier, beating Merrimack, beating Bryant, Bryant was on the road, sorry. St. Francis, though, another home game, 25-20, 25-12, 25-12 again. Just the first set, maybe a little difficulty, but then once they find out what their opponent does well and make some adjustments, it's just, you know, make the right plays, make the right decisions, and the game just comes more naturally and it's easier. Another game I look at was Fairleigh Dickinson, another 3-0 win, 25-8. 25-11, 25-9. Not scoring more than 11 points in a set. I mean, that's crazy. That just shows the offense and defensive combination that RMU has just shown. And, you know, you look at, you know, 8, 9 points, 11 points. some of those, three or four of those, are just RMU errors. You look at it, half of those points were earned. You know, so some of it maybe miscommunication or hitting a ball out of bounds or the deflection in the back row.
Doesn't seem like they're doing that a lot, though.
No, they really have not. It just shows how, you know, well focused this team is and how well balanced they are.
Absolutely. And then if I may point out, I'm looking at their schedule from last year, and a lot of these NEC a lot of their NEC matchups last year, it looks like they struggled last year in the NEC. You know, like, you know, Bryant, they've beat the Colonials have beaten Bryant this year in pretty convincing fashion. But last year in the NEC, Bryant was able to take it in at Robert Morris last year by a score of 3-2. So, you know, the motivation, you know, there's definitely some kind of factor behind it that has, you know, how is RMU playing much better in the NEC this season than they are last season? And it definitely, like you said, has a lot to do with the offense and defense combination. You know, it's been evident throughout the course of the season, you know, probably coaching, and then just a more, you know, more motivation and a bigger drive to want to play.
When the season began and we were early on in the season, one game that I looked at that said, okay, this team is different. This team is really good. At home, beating Duquesne, who RMU have not defeated Duquesne since 2007. 12-year drought against Duquesne. RMU coming up with a 3-0 victory early on in the year. Emma Granger recording 15 kills, 5 blocks, 5 aces. some unreal numbers there. Hudak, 14 kills. Alfano had 6 and 4 blocks. Just showing, you know, early on in the season that, you know, this team is different. This is not the same RMU volleyball team that everybody saw last year and basically said, it's not the same team that lost 3-0 last year to Duquesne. They showed signs early, and they're showing signs, you know, obviously right now of playing just absolutely great. And when you look at the NEC standings at the current moment, RMU standing all alone at the top at 9-0 in conference play. Next closest is Bryant, 7-2, who we've already seen RMU match up against Bryant, and we've already seen just the success that RMU has had. Winning at Bryant, and then coming up, as I said earlier, in November 1st game against the Bulldogs at home. So when you look at it, you say to yourself, just there's so many different games that RMU, after just struggling last season, have just been able to pick up on. And, you know, I think some of it was just, you know, winning the games that you should have won. They played a lot of hard-fought games. Last year on the road at St. Francis Brooklyn, losing in 5 sets, losing at home when the games were at the North Athletic Complex, to Bryant in 5, Central Connecticut losing at home in 4. So they weren't getting, you know, crushed in sets. I think it was just, you know, putting it all together. Games were close. Sets were close. You look at it and you say, you know, put everything together. Get a couple more players to, you know, develop and get a little better, and RMU just, you know, found success.
Yeah, and Austin, I'm looking at these NEC standings right here for this season. Like you said, Robert Morris, it just seems like they're alone at the top right now of the standings. You know, 19-3 overall record, as we already had said. But then Bryant is second with an overall record of 12-13. Like, that's a big difference. And then, you know, and on just looking at the other teams in the NEC standings, it raises the question, is there really any team that can compete with Robert Morris?
I don't know. I don't think. I think LIU's okay. You know, Sacred Heart took a set. I think Bryant's good, but when you look at it, Bryant overall is not above 500. Neither is LIU. They're 7-3 overall, Bryant being 12-13. Sacred Heart 11-10. It just doesn't seem like outside of NEC play, that any of these teams are good other than RMU.
No, absolutely.
Now, I'm not going to attest them RMU's great season this year and great success to, you know, weaken play in the conference, but the conference is, you know, not that strong. They're just, there's just not, there's not much competition for RMU at all at the top. It's just, I think, I wouldn't say, you know, there's nothing. I think Bryant can, you know, Bryant can play. Sacred Heart took a set. LIU's, you know, okay, but it's a bunch of just okay teams.
Exactly.
With the beast at the top.
Yeah, so it, you know, it's kind of like, I like to think of this whole thing as, you know, the big brother always being the little brother. It just seems like Robert Morris is the big brother in this case, and, you know, they have a bunch of little siblings, and they can't be beaten. And, you know, so I think if any of these teams, they're going to have trouble beating Robert Morris at home, because Robert Morris is still undefeated at the UPMC Event Center. And, you know, and then their away record, Robert Morris's away record is still good with 7-1. But then even looking at their neutral record, like we had mentioned earlier in the podcast, you know, Robert Morris, their neutral record is 4-2. And then if we look at last year, compared to last year's neutral, Robert Morris was 1-5 in neutral settings last year. So, you know, just by looking at that statistic alone, and then all the other teams that fall in Robert Morris, they're not even at 500, or one team is at 500, Central Connecticut, in a neutral setting. But just, yeah, you have to wonder, like, Robert Morris, they can play anywhere, and it doesn't seem like the setting of a match would affect them even.
The way I look at it, I'll go to the NFL here. It's like the Patriots against, you know,
yeah,
a Ben Roethlisberger-less Steelers, an injured Patrick Mahomes Chiefs team,
yeah,
Houston, who still can't really block for Deshaun Watson. I just look at it as, you know, the dog, the team at the top, like the, you know, the beast, the proven team that, you know, we are the best this year. We've shown you we're the best. And then it's just everybody else.
Literally,
there's a bunch of questions.
Robert Morris is, there's no other way to describe it. They're the New England Patriots of NEC volleyball.
Well, at least they are this season.
Yeah, this season.
Now, you know, past seasons being what they may be, this season I think RMU is just, you know, Robert Morris has turned it on, and we're just able to see what they've been able to do this season with the talent that has been presented to them. So let's move forward and look at the rest of the schedule as the season plays out. St. Francis coming up.
Yeah, some big NEC matchups coming up here.
Yeah, St. Francis on the road, then Bryant at home.
We've Sacred Heart at home as well. And then Central Connecticut at home. St. Francis, Brooklyn at home. And then they go on the road to Teaneck, New Jersey, to play Fairleigh Dickinson. And then their last NEC matchup of the season will be against Long Island in Brooklyn, New York. And then they have the Northeast Conference Tournament, which is to be it's on November 22nd and 23rd, and that's to be determined. But just, yeah, so some important NEC matchups to finish out their season here. And, you know, as we have already said, RMU, they've already shown they can beat these teams. So, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to win all these matchups, but, you know, it's definitely something to look at how the fact that they've beaten these NEC teams already, that should help them throughout the rest of the season, and especially since most of these games are at the UPMC Event Center. So you just have to wonder if RMU's really going to lose another match the rest of their season.
Yeah, one thing I look at, Josh, 4 home games in a row to start out in November. Bryant, Sacred Heart, Central Connecticut, San Francisco, Brooklyn, November 1st, 2nd, 8th, and 9th. You know, back-to-back weekends, all home games, I think. I wouldn't say that would be, you know, cruise control, but I think, you know, having Sacred Heart and Central Connecticut back-to-back, but, you know, being multiple days apart, being the two toughest matchups remaining on the schedule, I like where the Colonials are. I think the St. Francis game on the road will be pretty easy. It is their Dick Pink match, which, you know, comes the trouble of, you know, St. Francis is going to be motivated. They're going to have a nice crowd there. A lot of events going on in and around the game. But I also think, you know, closing the season out, 2 road games, Fairleigh Dickinson and Long Island, I think that RMU is in good position. I like
what, absolutely.
I really think that they can end the season undefeated.
Oh, I believe that too. And, you know, that Yeah, they should have a good chance of finishing out the season on a strong note here, Austin.
You think 16-0 in NEC play is possible?
Absolutely. Like we've already said, can any of these other NEC teams compete with Robert Morris? Just by looking at the records of these NEC teams, it doesn't, you know, you're able to interpret the fact that none of these other teams have the drive and the motivation to play. Robert Morris, again, 19-3 overall. So you can tell, like I said earlier in the podcast, you can tell that there's some kind of drive and motivation to play, and the team chemistry is there. It just doesn't seem like, you know, these other NEC teams, it seems like they've struggled throughout the course of the season. You know, so you have to wonder, is the team chemistry there? Is something going on with the coaching aspect? You know, is there miscommunications all around? So, yeah, Austin, to answer your question, I firmly believe that the Colonials can finish out the season with a 16-0 record in the conference.
I think it's just music to the team's ears, just seeing all this going on with just how the team, with how RMU's playing. I think Robert Morris has a great chance, you know, going to the NEC tournament. I think they can win it. I think they're going to win it. And then get a bid in the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely.
Should be great to see. So who is your player to watch going down the stretch with one game before our next show, being St. Francis, as we will be recording again next Thursday. That game will be Wednesday. What is your thoughts, Josh? How are you looking at next game coming up against St. Francis?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's really quite obvious for me. The player to watch is Emma Granger. I mean, what, 4 Player of the Week awards so far this season, Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. And, you know, just looking at her stats this season, you know, it just seems like her individually just seems like she has found a bigger drive and motivation to play. And, you know, it seems like the game's been more fun to her this season. And that's probably, you know, so I think Emma Granger's, she's my player to watch the rest of the season. How is any team going to be able to find a way to shut her down?
Yeah, I think Emma Granger is the obvious choice. I also like Elena Carmody playing the back row.
Alyssa Hudak as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, Carmody being from North Allegheny, me being from Baldwin, the big volleyball rivalry that there is there, it's good to have somebody from NA on our side now playing for the same team. As the two, maybe we'll battle it out in the Whitfield playoffs.
We will stay tuned.
We will see. But I also look at Whitney Brown. I think that the team, I think Brown, you know, leading this offense, I think has been absolutely phenomenal. I mentioned earlier how quick the offense is. I really think that RMU, if they continue this quick offense, will, you know, go on a roll, not lose again, and be set up great for the NEC tournament.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Austin.
Well, Josh, any final thoughts on this first edition of the Dig that we were recording?
All I got to say is, RMU fans, you better get to a volleyball game, because with the way this team's playing this season, it wouldn't be a waste of your time and or money. So go get to a game, watch the sensational season that's going on for this team right now, and who knows if they continue their success, they could be seeing a longer season.
Oh, I think that's pretty much a guarantee with this team. I think they're so good, and I 100% agree with you. Go out, watch this team, go support this team. It's definitely well worth it. So, for the first edition of The Dig, I am Austin Bechtold.
And I am Josh Selzer.
Thank you for listening, and wrapping up the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll hear you soon. Thanks for listening. We'll be talking to you soon.